As you may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Peter, for playing. I'm so glad that you played. It's just wonderful. Don't you just enjoy Brother Peter's playing? It's such a rare treat. I'm sorry I'm making you, putting you on the spot, but I just love it. I just love it so much. Are all of us musicians or creative people, which that's us, that's all of us. It's our personality that is coming out through each of our different ways to express ourselves. And it's amazing that they did a study one time and they said that they found all people are creative, which means we're made in his image. And so it's the devil to say, to put something over us and say, oh, that's good for you, but I'm not creative. And they say it's actually not inert to not be creative. You need to let out your creativity in some way, or else you'll actually somehow, something will come out, blow steam off somewhere else. So why not just use it for the Lord and just let that out and in some way. Amen. Praise God. Just glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening. How's everyone this evening? Good. Everybody looks awake and full of vim and vigor. Praise God. Just good to hear that Brother Greg got some rest. Just that the Lord's working. I saw Uncle Paul yesterday, and he was in good spirits. And so that was really good. And we did some worship music, and we did some prayer together. And that was really good. So really thankful for that. Just something that I've been studying for a little over a week now that just keeps coming back to me, and I just was just really saying, okay, Lord, what do you have for us tonight? Because it's amazing how, if we can just think about this, we're all his sheep. And he's saying, oh, they need some vitamins over here. And usually it's something that's relevant to what's going on. And I say, Lord, I thought it was for someone else, but it's... then I'm surprised it's for me. And to think, you know, so many times I think the Lord's been showing me where I've seen something in someone else, and then I realize, oh, the Lord wanted to work on me. And I say, praise God for that, because like they say, don't bring a pitchfork to church to pass the hay over to someone else, to bring a shovel and to scoop that in to your own area. And Derek has never heard that before by the look on his face. So... but he didn't bring a pitchfork tonight, I can tell. Praise God. So just wanted to talk on a topic tonight of complexes. And I know that this is something that's, we have to be careful, because that we live in these human bodies, that the first thing when we talk about faults and complexes is that our body wants to say, hey, this is my client, I'm here to represent him, I'm here to protect him, and this is going to be, you know, he's pretty good, and he's, you know, and we get that self-defense just starts rising up in us. And I've even heard from keynote speakers, when they talk on certain subjects, they have to strategize for hours and hours, Brother Don, because they see people just shut down, and they're not even realizing they're shutting down. But it's just such a sensitive topic that they just immediately just, oh, they're gone. And so for us to realize that our self-preservation, because we're still connected to this body, to be able to say, okay, Lord, that's just the old man. That's not the inner man. So I just want to take that. We'll just take a text from Psalms 19, if we could just stand. Thank you so much, Nate, for the worship music. He is in the house. Brother Don, I just have to say, the Lord was just so wonderful to speak to us on Sunday. Be of good cheer. It's just so many times we're in this world and we know we're going to suffer and we're going to have tribulation. And I feel like Satan wants us to be like, yes, you will. And to think that, but with joy he endured the cross. It's because of what he knew and how he could stand on the word of God. And I just think, to think that we have good from the goodness of God, that cheer, that we can just stand strong. Praise God. Psalms 19, and we're just going to read one verse, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And then we're just going to turn to John chapter 8, and we know that this is the wrangling of between Jesus and the Pharisees, and he was trying to show them their secret faults, but it showed manifest that they couldn't, that it was just harder for them to see what was going on. For some reason, I can never turn Brother Don and talk at the same time. Do you have that problem? Oh, that's probably why you don't chew gum very often. Okay, and we're going to go down to, we know this escalates and escalates, but we're going to go on to verse 36. And I'm in chapter 6. Let's go to chapter 8. Praise God. Okay, so, and we're going to read verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. You can just be seated and just, Lord, may He quicken that to our hearts. We're free, completely free. Has anyone ever felt completely free before? After not being free, where you just had that time where you said, oh my, I need to testify of the goodness of the Lord. Because, amen, it's that moment of surrender, or that moment of eureka, of that, praise God, I'm free. I've already told all my stories of the times I lied at work and all these different things, and the Lord had just put me under such conviction, Sister Mary, and why? Because I was afraid, and that was a fault. Is I was afraid of well, I'll just say the right answer, and then, oh man, this is where lying is worse than being being caught in a mistake, and so does everybody remember that story? Me lying to the compliance officer. And I said, yep. And so I called her back, and she was just so gracious. And she said that most of the things that you lied about, they weren't even wrong. They're just better rules of guidelines. So that's really, it was just wonderful getting off the phone and saying, I am guilt free. So, and just want to say, God bless you, Stephen. Good to see you. My namesake. Welcome. So, usually it becomes from just looking at complexes, and complexes usually come in a few different ways. From what Brother Branham talked about is a lot of times it was from the parents. It was from a parent had passed it down to them, and now they have that problem where they're living in fear because of that. Maybe it will just take something that's more benign, like maybe if mom or dad is scared of storms, and they look and they say, are we going to be okay? And then the parent says, let's hide in the basement. Every storm comes along. Now that adult or that child becomes an adult, and then they say, I am so afraid of storms. And we know as parents what we do, you know, if we want to not make them have a fear of something, we just say, oh, I love storms. Who loves storms? Anybody loves storms? Yes. Yeah, right? Because you just, that low pressure, all of a sudden the wind comes in and you can smell that nitrogen in the air, and it just smells so fresh, and it's not winter, and you just, oh, right? And you just watch the clouds coming, and you hear the lightning, and the kids say, oh, there's something wrong. And you say, no, this is not something that we have to be afraid of. We actually had a neighbor next door, and she was 90 years old, and she was scared of storms at 90 years old. And she said, I've always been scared of storms. And she said, my mother was actually scared of storms. And so it came on her to be that she was just scared of storms. And again, this is benign. We don't need to have an altar call because we're scared of storms. But to be able to think, it's also the age we live in. We know we live in a neurotic age, And so we're more prey and susceptible to that because we don't live in a quietness and in confidence atmosphere to be our strength in this age. We're living a very neurotic age, as Brother Branham said. From the seven church ages, the exposition of the seven church ages, I will put upon you none other burden. The word for burden is weight or pressure. The pressure of the dark ages was either bend or be broken, bow or die. It was the Inquisition, the power of the empire, backing up satanic worship. Be organized or pay with your life. Each age has its pressures. For example, a great burden of the last age is the pressure of riches, soft living, and nervous tensions in a complex age that we seem unfitted to live in. So it's a complex age. He's saying that this is, again, an age of complexes. And so Brother Branham says in Standing in the Gap, he says, God bless you each one, and we hope to see you again real soon. Till then, will you do this one favor for me now, both here and on the tapes also? Pray that God will place into my heart that something that I lost out there in that complex. It's so easy to build a complex. So Brother Branham is asking for prayer because he's built a complex. Here's the prophet of the age saying, oh, God bless you. It's good to see you. Oh, but by the way, can you pray for me? I have a complex. I built one. There's another sermon where there was a lady in India making merchandise of believers pretending to be a missionary. And then he came in afterwards and there was just a cold closedness to the word of God because of someone taking that position and now deceiving those people into giving them money. And he said, because of that, I've built up a critical spirit, and you all pray for me because I have a critical spirit. And now he's confessing that I myself would say, you know what, I think I'll wait till after the Lord delivers me from it, and then I'll pray and give the testimony, and then so that way I won't look less spiritual. And I think maybe that's a complex right on top of that. That's probably part of the complex. And so it's very interesting. I wanted to have something for the kids this evening. And so I grabbed up a couple pictures from one of my favorite books when I was a little kid.
The Berenstain Bears.
So I'm going to see if I can, here we go, jump over to this. And it's just a few pages, but I think it's, if we can just keep our spiritual caps on. Does anybody remember this book? And you see that in this, I hope I'm doing this right, in this book, as we go along, you have Sister Bear, and she's just saying hi to everybody. She has no guile. She's like, the world is a great place to live. And so she's just going along. It's a happy day. You look, there's flowers. There's people running. And then all of a sudden, Brother Bear says, you know, you can't just talk to everybody. And so they go home, and then Papa Bear has to say, hey, you know, you can't just talk to everybody. You know, there is stranger danger. And so he takes over and he reads her the newspaper. And, you know, how people, it was a lost child and they had suspected a stranger. And so all of a sudden it's this weight that she's having to bear. And she's kind of looking maybe more concerned here. And then all night, what is she doing? She's feeling a little bit belittled. She's thinking, she's trying to digest what just happened from her amazing worldview to now all of a sudden, this is a bad thing. People can be, and it's, again, Papa Bear wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just doing it to protect her. So then she wakes up in the morning and all of a sudden, we can see it looks a little different outside. She looks a little different at breakfast. And then this is the key that you look at, and now here's a perspective. Her perspective on reality has changed. What is reality is the top portion, and what she sees is the bottom portion. And we can see all the animals are frowning, all the people are frowning, the balloons are frowning, the butterfly is frowning. Why? Because now she's gone way over to the other side and maybe gotten a little bit of a complex where she's seeing something that's not real anymore. And I say, my, it's so easy to do, saints of God. I think there's, yeah, a couple more pictures here. It's just so wonderful. It makes me wonder if this person was a Christian that wrote this book. Because Mama Bear goes into the kitchen and now she explains how you can judge something by its fruit. And she takes this ugly old apple and she's saying from the outside, you can look at it and say, oh, that's a bad apple. I can tell, I know, right off the bat. But then you cut it in half and you see what's on the inside, and it's a good apple. You can tell by the fruit, not just looking at it, not its cover, but what's on the inside. And then she takes another apple and she says, okay, now you see this fruit. It's beautiful on the outside. And you say, well, I can bite right into that. But then it's full of worms. And so she's teaching her, there's some nuance, right, to stranger danger. And so now she's seeing it's not the same as just all the covers of who I see of people. It's a different perspective. And so that's pretty much how the book goes on. And the next thing she does that I must have not saved is that she now decides she needs to police other people so they're not talking to strangers. And she had to learn about that too, is that it's okay to be safe, but also to not police other people. So I hope that's a blessing to you on that part of it, is that we can have such a quick knee-jerk when we learn some things in the Lord, and that all of a sudden now we can become policing, or we can become depressed. I remember sometimes I'm a very obsessive person, a personality where I love to just study a topic way too much. And I call it self-pasturing, where I go into this pasture and I eat all the grass in that whole pasture, metaphorically. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this world, oh, everything's esoteric. Everything is a hidden meaning. Everything is this, and I don't have any peace anymore. I've had that happen before, and I'm like, I know what the devil's doing. I know everything. Because I've gone too much to that wrong side, that stranger danger side. And the Lord is so good to give us pastors after his own heart, because it gives a well-balanced meal rather than us being isolated and where we are self-pasturing ourselves. Because we can have a skewed reality in so many different ways. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded or stricken or sad spirit, who can bear? So when we have a wounded spirit, and we've seen this many times, you'll hear about testimonies where people got deep into darkness because a parent or a sibling put something on them where they couldn't bear it. Like we know the story of Corrie Ten Boom, where she wanted to understand a adult word, and her grandfather was going to the train station with her, and she says, okay, I'll tell you what that word is, what it means, but first you have to carry my luggage. And so she goes to pick it up, and she tries and tries and tries, and she says, I can't, it's too heavy for me. And he said, that's right, Corey, it's too heavy for you. One day you'll be able to carry it, but for now I'll carry it for you until you're old enough to carry these things. And we know as parents, we can't give children things that are too heavy for them, because it can break their spirit. It can make them discouraged. It can give them too big of a perspective on things. Even if it's right, it's just not time yet. And that's something that can give a child, just like in this story with with Papa Bear now reading the newspaper and substantiating it. Maybe it was a little too much right before bed. Maybe Dad should have waited till after breakfast to talk about people, the kids getting lost as a bedtime story. And so to realize that it's a weight and a pressure of this age. From the indictment, here recently I was just going to quit preaching. The people wouldn't hear me. They just kept going on doing the same thing and I got discouraged. I built a complex. Oh God, a couple Sundays ago when you give me that sign out there. So he's recalling this is that he got discouraged and he built a complex. Normally I would wait till the end to tell you how to get rid of a complex, but I always wanted the minister to tell me how to get the solution in the middle. Because I already understand the complex. Okay, let's get this thing fixed. So we can fix it by exposing it for what it is, realizing that it's a complex, and to realize we all are in a complex age. We all are prone to it, and it's when things are heavy and they keep coming back to us and they keep pressing on us and pressing on us and pressing on us, and it's just so heavy. It also can just confessing it to him in prayer, but also even just looking, asking for help too, to be able to say, is this just me? I just feel like there's something wrong, because we know the James 5 is, in that bearing of one another's burdens, is confess your faults, confess your weaknesses. We know the scripture in, I believe it's, Proverbs, maybe we already read it, that cleanse me thou from secret faults. It just means, that word secret faults is one word. It just means hidden things. So it can be something that's just hidden, a blind thing, but it's something that creates a weakness that we didn't even see. By discernment also, there is a story where Brother Bram talks about this was where, and actually even Brother Branham said he had an inferiority complex. He felt inferior, right? Because his dad was a drunk, you know, and and no wonder he said, I am not the son of Charles and Anna Ella Branham. And that was just to dissociate himself of all these things. I'm not that. I'm not those things. Where Satan, he only uses our natural flesh to try to build up complexes, because that's, if we get in touch with our flesh, we're more prey to those weak things. And so there was many times where you can hear him talking about, now there's way better preachers than me. And you could talk about all these different things. And so he talks about the story how this young lady comes or it needs prayer, and she's in a padded cell, and she's been committed. And the reason why is because of two things. And I'm not going to read the whole quote because it's a big long story, but it was really interesting is that it was for two reasons. Is she thought that she should marry a minister. She thought, as a Christian, I'm godly. I'm supposed to be doing something righteous. I should be probably marrying a minister. And she thought, okay, this is, and she thought it was the Lord, but it was just her idea from what I understood of it. And then the other thing was that she was made fun of for dressing modestly by her peers at school. And a lot of them were Christians, she kept being bullied and belittled for being modest over and over and over again until she was committed. So she had that complex was so strong, saints of God, that she actually was here in a padded cell. And when the Lord, through Brother Bram, through discernment, showed her that and said, now you had this thought, an idea of what you thought God wanted you to do, and that was your idea. And she said, I'm free. I'm not under this bondage of, in my mind, of these complexes anymore. And she walked out of there a completely sane person. And you just think, praise God, how many times I've thought, oh, it's just the devil getting on my shoulder again. He's getting on my shoulder. We know that the prophet of God would explain, like, that old self, that old man, he's kind of hovering around, just, you know, over here, trying to get back in again. But sometimes it's something where it's deep enough where it's actually something that's latched onto us. And we just think, man, I'm really dealing with this for months and years. But to be able to say, Lord, show me, what is it? Where did that come in? And we could think of, like, Brother Adam talks about arrogance. I remember one time it just came out of me, and I said, Lord, where did it start? And he said, it was at the mall when you were in that store and they were playing that song. Now, this seems probably silly to people that maybe doesn't care about this thing, but here I am, a teenager, and I'm like, I look really great in that mirror, and this song is playing, and I'm, yeah. And here a couple of days later, all of a sudden arrogance comes out of me. And it was like the Lord showing me, that's when you let it in. And I say, oh, I'm free. I don't have to be, because it wasn't me, but it just came out of me. It was so surprising. Another one is self-pity. And it's amazing how we live in this age, and we have so much on our plate. Every one of us have so much on our plate. And I could even affirm you right now and give you all we'll have a whole self-pity party. We're like, praise God, we're going to make it. And there's so many trials, and it's so hard. And just pat ourselves on the back too much. And one example is Corrie Ten Boom. And, of course, she was traveling the world in obedience to share your testimony. Share what God did for you in the concentration camps. Share. And now she's in her 70s, and she's just had this time where she was in Japan, actually, and she was, you know, had an upset stomach, unfamiliar food, and she just started thinking about, oh, the European food from back home. Oh, my stomach hurts so bad. I'm so tired. And she said, my knee has been my office, my secretary for writing for 40 years. That's all I've had is my knee. And she's like, I'm going to call back in Amsterdam and have them set up that room for me. It's time. I'm retiring. And she made the call. And then she just felt like the Lord was talking to her, Corey. That's not you. That's just the enemy trying to come in to give you a pity party. Like, you're fine. And she's like, I just almost had a full-on in pity party and went home and retired. But I just realized that was the devil. And it wasn't time to retire yet. Yes, she did retire eventually. But to think that she had every reason. We could say, no, Corey, I don't know if that was the Lord. I think that you really did need to retire and go back to Amsterdam and have that wonderful food and just take a break. But the Lord had already called her to that, and he knew when it was time to be done. There was another time where Corey, even just the spirit of heaviness, we know that the garment of praise, that garment is an anointing. And it's put on the anointing of praise for that spirit of heaviness. And that word heaviness we know is darkness, gross darkness upon the people. And we know that there's an example of now where that heaviness is to come over us, right? Just like God above, God in, and God through, is that pressure, that weight is now pressing like that hell pressing, trying to get into us, and how that we have to keep praising the Lord. We have to, like, open up, uncork that praise out of our hearts, not just praise God anyhow, but be able to actually say, okay, Lord, I'm going to tell you what I think about you. And just start just opening up our joy, just when we think, to start thinking on the good things of God. I think I used to think praising the Lord was just say all the right words, which that's good too, to just praise the Lord anyhow when you stub your toe. But to be able to realize, like, there's that story of, I can't remember the minister, but he said, for the first 9 months after getting saved, all he heard was horrible curse words against God in his head. And he said, I just over and over again, I said, Lord, this is just torment to my mind. And again, it's that pressing in on the mind, that battle, right? And he told his wife, I got to shut myself in my room and just pray. I don't know how long it's going to take. And here it was day two or day three in his room. And he's just crying and he's like, Lord, I don't want to think these thoughts. And his name is Dan. And he heard the Lord tell him, Dan, it's not a problem. And he goes, well, yes, it's a problem. And he goes, do you think that way about me? And he said, no, not at all. I can't get these thoughts out of my mind. And he goes, all you have to do is just tell me what you think of me. When that comes, just start telling me what you think of me and what you know of me. And he said, so every time the enemy would come in, he'd be like, Lord, you saved me. You set me free. You set my family free. And he just started rejoicing. He started reminding the Lord of what he'd done for him and thanking him. He just started recollecting all those things. And he said, God used that to drive me to the throne of God every day. And I grew so much in that time, in that season where I had that pressing in. It was just a notification for me to tell the Lord what I thought of him. And I say, praise God for that. So that's another way to bring out get away those complexes. Don't have a complex, but come with a burly, robust faith. It's a settled thing. God said so, and that settles it right now. A complex, self-pity, you're in a pitiful condition then. That's really true. When you get to pitying yourself, and you want everybody to pity you, and you pity yourself. I think, oh my goodness, I haven't ever had this thought. Don't raise your hand. Oh, maybe if you just passed away, I wonder what your funeral would look like. Like, oh yeah, I'd probably play that song. And I wonder what Peter would think. Yeah. Right? And you're just thinking, well, that's just the devil. Derek's never had this problem. You can get up next Wednesday night and tell me what complexes the Lord has delivered you from. There was one time where there was another young man where he, I hope this is all right, I'm just telling just snippets of different things. this man was on his honeymoon with his wife, and boom, right there, complex came in. And we have to realize, too, reading the picture is, there's certain times of our life where Satan hits us more. And I noticed that right before marriage and right after marriage, that's when, because Satan hates marriage, because it's such a God-instituted thing that he wants to get it right at the cornerstone of its beginning. I mean, there was just warfare after warfare. And it wasn't with Bethany. It was just all of the other things that were happening. And here he talks about it here. And he said, basically, where this young man and Satan started hovering over him. And they came after their honeymoon to see Brother Branham. And his wife was crying. Here they're just newlyweds. And went there and seen this handsome young man sitting there just in the peak of his life, a leader of young men. Sitting there, and Satan bound him. He never noticed, but I took my hand to shake his right hand. I took my left hand to shake his right hand to discern if there was anything that plagued him. And he says there was no vibrations. But then seeing the shadow of darkness over him, I never said what I was doing, but in less than a couple moments' time, it was all gone. So the Lord delivered him from that, but it was this darkness over him, again, that spirit of heaviness. He was shouting and praising God a few minutes to find himself. And here they sit, right here this morning, sitting in the audiences, see how Satan was trying to upset that young man by referring to him of some complex to be built back. How many times have in our life where you just go back to your past and you're like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. And you're just flushed in the face. And or something where you're just like, oh, that was a bad time of my life. And it's just Satan wants to build back his better, right? He wants to take back that ground. I love what Brother Jesse said one time is that, I think it was Watchman Nee, how he says, we don't fight to obtain, we fight to retain. We have that land, we fight to retain what God has already given us. Which he had some complex, Satan was trying to get him to build it back, which the Holy Spirit knew. I seen it by the vision of the Lord, but God cared for that man. God cared for that young boy. There's the complex of pride. There's another little door called pride. Oh, what a horrible little black devils is all pinned up in that heart of pride, thinking you're better than somebody else. Well, I wouldn't send my children over there. They don't dress right. The people who goes there isn't in my class. If Christ is in your heart, we're all of one class because of one spirit. We're all baptized into one body. Pride just, it feels just a little complex you have. And I thought, my, so many things I didn't think were complexes. Oh, you don't want Jesus to touch that, because it would degrade your social standing in the community. I'd rather degrade my social standing in the community than to rub my name off the Lamb's Book of Life. But they won't let him in. That little pride holds him out. Oh, Jesus, I'll join the church. I'll accept you. But oh, don't look in this closet, because you can sit down in a chair by the door, but I won't let you in this closet. Then he can't be your Lord. He has got to have access to every room in the house, every compartment, all the little secret things of life. He's got to have access to every bit of it. Then he becomes Lord. My, to think if we could have a spiritual sign on Stephen's chest that it only lights up when he has every door, and it's kind of flickering, and it just says, it's a neon sign that says, he is Lord of this heart. And if Brother Jesse could look at me and say, Stephen, it's kind of flickering a little bit there. But again, that's another thing too. Here's another one. And this is actually a complex of isolation. Something happened to me a few weeks ago, and I'm determined by the help of God never to be negative on anything anymore, to blast my heart out. Remind, no matter what it costs, see, be sincere down to the bottom of it, and that's the truth. Here it is. And men just educate themselves till they will educate themselves away from one another. They get complexes. You don't get no complex by the blood of Jesus Christ. You get love. Praise God. I think there's one of these actually, Nate put on Signal today, and it was exactly in my notes. That's where you get love, not a complex, that I'm a little bigger than someone else, a little better than somebody else, know a little more than somebody else. You just got your arms around everybody, and it's a basis of love through the blood. The blood cleanses. Now, fellowship comes by love, and love requires fellowship. That should be in my house, just in big letters, Stephen, because we live up in the North Country. Stephen, it's easy to be alone. Love requires fellowship. If you love your wife, you'll just get to get with her and talk with her. If you love your friend, you've got to get with him and talk with him. And if you love God, there's got to be a basis of fellowship. You cannot have complete fellowship and livelihood without these agreements. That's from Fellowship. And so there's so many different ones. Can I give you a couple more? Is this all right? Praise God. He talks about the organizational systems and how it creates the funny feelings. We get a great big organization of this type and that type, and when you do, you build complex against the other fellow. The thing we ought to do, brother, is forget about that. Your organizations are fine, but what we want is born-again Christians with salvation in their heart and the power of the Holy Ghost in there to love one another and to stretch out and to have feelings for one another. Glorious feelings. Hopes of feelings and brotherly affections. That binds us together. And that's what God wants us to have. He's the infinite God, and he cannot change. His words, he cannot change them. That's from the unchangeable God, working in an unexpectable way. You think about in the scripture when God called Moses and how he said, and he had that inferiority complex, and he says, who me? Who am I that God could use me? Think about how God, we all desire to be used by God, and not, we don't want to just be a show, but we want God to show himself to us. We want to be used. We want to not be just on our knees saying, Lord, use me today. But in that moment saying, oh, I'm being used. I've been found faithful. And to think that here an inferiority complex in Moses made him be like, well, okay, Lord, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And here he's saying, how am I going to deal with this? And the Lord gave him a way. Even with him being called, God gave him a way. We look at Zacchaeus, and we don't know much about his life, but here he had to climb up into a tree as a full-grown man because he couldn't see over the crowds. And just even being physically short, he might have had a little bit of an inferiority complex. And how that we have to realize that no matter what we look like physically even, how that we can't let that stop us from getting to Jesus. I know these things are seem like ABCs, but it's just for us to remember, like, Satan's going to try to poke us any way he can. Whatever, if it's something we look like, we think we look like, how many times is it something, I've heard said that men wake up in the morning and they say, can I provide? That's the first thing they think of. I hope I'm a good provider. I hope they think good of me at work. I hope my boss actually says, we want to keep Stephen, which is not a good analogy since I'm my own boss. But then I hear that naturally women wake up and they say, am I beautiful? Am I beautiful? Do I look good? Do I look presentable? Am I beautiful? And to think that there's struggles that I've had with, can I provide, where Satan's like, I'm going to hit him right there. And I'm going to say, oh, what if you don't get any piano tunings this week, Stephen? Oh, what are people going to think about? You can't provide for your family. And he's just taking me down the line. They're like, I'll just project that out for this long, and now we're going to be. And he's trying to put a pressure on me and put me in darkness so that I can't provide. And it's the same thing with sisters. And for anyone with something that's a fault is that he's trying to take that little thing where we're sensitive about that and be like, how much pressure, how much darkness can I put on this person? And for us to be able to say, I know who I am. I know that God is in me, and I know that it's not, can I provide? It's, I know he's going to provide. And for the sisters, it's not, am I beautiful? It's, he made me this way. He made me wonderfully and beautifully. And am I this tall? He made me this tall. He chose my stature, my height, from way back in the mother's womb. If he could take the stars, he could take the planets and put them in orbit, and they've been going for 7,000 years. exactly where they're supposed to go. Do you think he did a mistake with a feature on your face or your body? Everything is exactly where it needs to be, saints of God. Praise God. One on malice. And this is the one I think Nate had. Though I understand all the mysteries of God, see, and still though I could do it and have not charity, I'm nothing. I haven't gotten nowhere yet. See, the main thing is love God and humble yourself with it. Now, surely after all these years on the field and all around and seeing different types of people, I ought to know a little bit about the gate to enter in at. And if you want to get somewhere with God, never let an arrogant spirit ever come around you. Don't let no malice in. No matter what anybody has done, if they are wrong, don't you ever build up a complex against that person. My, see, you be sweet and kind. Remember, God loved you when you were in sin. I say, thank you, Lord, for that. And if the Spirit of God is in you and you love the other person when he is in the wrong, see, just pray for them and love one another. Above everything, love God and love one another and be humble with God and around one another, and God will bless us. And it's hard telling what he will do. Then they get away from that real thing. Oh, he was saying, I cut it down. He was saying how that even as we grow bigger as churches, how that's when usually we start distancing ourselves from each other. I don't think we have that problem very much. I'm so glad for a smaller church. I have so many clients that have people, and they're like, oh, yeah, I've got this many people in my church, and I've been to a church that they picked you up by golf cart when we were down in Texas because they had to drive me to the entrance. And to think that we have a wonderful church where everybody knows everybody, and for us to be even tighter knit because of it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Every once in a while, Brother Don, I look down at my iPad and it's gone to the top of my notes for some reason. So sometimes this technology, I have like 5 things on the paper. No, it doesn't. There's no lag. There's no battery problems or anything. There was unforgiveness as a complex, and this one was inherited. That there was one. A father and mother called me to the scene and said, we would desire to know what is wrong with our boy. Since they're from the South, I have to add a little Southern flair. Now, it's not easy to do sometimes, but you must be truthful and honest. Therefore, the boy was a Christian as far as a believer. He had repented and been baptized and had his position among the believers, but yet had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, no matter how much he thought he had. You think you have it and having it. It's two different things. Now, this fellow's parents, his mother was German. No reflection on the German, but there is a strain in that family. There's a strain in that family, and that is they'll just sit. And you can talk to them, and they'll just stare right in your face. They got this girl's sister, the mother of this boy, her sister. I have come down the street many morning, and this young lady be sitting out in the yard, and I'd say, good morning to you. And she'd just look at me. And I'd stop and say, sure, a fine morning. And she'd stand and look. Well, her brothers are that way. Father and mother is that way. Now, the father of the boy is strictly an Irishman. Moody, high-tempered, high-strung. That is, his whole family is like that, except one other out of the family converted. Now, in this boy So the father and mother are filled with the Holy Ghost, Christians, and brought this young man up in the way of the Lord. He's about 17, 18 years old, very fine kid, been a role model at home. Now, the genes in the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remains that the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him, just like from his mother's family, and they are not forgiving. They will not apologize, and that's where that boy stands. Now I said to the father, no matter how much you've raised him up, I said, now look at you, out of your family, all of them drunks and fighting and shooting and cutting and so forth. Now look at your family, to the mother. They're a bunch of people just sit there and won't speak, very independent and so forth, irreverent to religion. But I said, it's not you. You're the only one of all your sisters and brothers, and you are sweet, kind, and forgiving. What does that? And your tree, part of the family tree, yet you have received the Holy Ghost. That's the thing that made you tender and sweet. It's not your people anymore. It's your Christ that lives in you. That's another quotable. I'm not my people anymore, Brother Derek. It's Christ that lives in me. I said to the boy, look at your family. Practically all of them are drunks and so forth. And I said, and how moody and high-tempered and high-strung, but you're not. You're kind, forgiving. What is it? The Holy Spirit. You're no more what you are. It's Christ in you. I said, now the same thing has to happen to your son. And the father raised up and said, my son went to the altar. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ and water baptism in the pool. Said, I know my son has come to Christ. I said, that may be all right. All the outward motions. He might be identified as a believer with the believers. But until he's regenerated, born again, I'd advise that young man to never marry a woman. He'll make hell on earth for her. Until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in, then that will be a paradox in itself. To take the very nature of a boy that's bred between father and mother, and yet in his intellectuals, he's trying his best to overcome it. He can't do it. He'll never overcome it. Christ will have to overcome it. When he lets Christ in, musicians, you can come. When he lets Christ in, then he's already overcome then. It'll be a perfect paradox when a man is born of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that we don't have to fight it alone? That Christ can come in and he's really good at kicking out the bad guys. He's really good at trading our ashes for beauty, trading our mourning for oil of gladness, taking our darkness and giving us light. We sing that song, Brother Peter, we'll walk in the light. It's a beautiful light. Praise the Lord. I hope that was a blessing this evening. Praise God. I just think, my goodness, so many times, again, I thought it was warfare, and I thought it was just, it's just been hovering over for me for, you know, a decade, and it's just, what I have to deal with, and we know Satan's got that punch, but to think that there could be a foothold where now, just like this young man, he's been fighting it and fighting it and fighting it, and he would never, ever get over it. And here, he's been baptized in the name of Jesus and no Holy Ghost. And the Lord was able to deliver him there. But to realize what it was from that family line, to expose that and say, I know what that is, and to not try to do it on our own. Praise God. We all stand. All ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Life and
walking, we'll walk in the light. Such a beautiful light. Somewhere the dewdrops of mercy are light. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
One more thing, saints. We think about that, how that those hidden faults. It's just like you've seen those mushrooms that only grow in the dark. And as soon as you expose them to the light, they shrivel up. We had one growing up in the wall. And as soon as we opened up, it was just standing straight and tall, and it just shriveled over and died. And I just say, Lord, bring to the light all the faults in me. Like we know our prophet of the age said, I want to be exposed. So Lord, expose those things. So that's not us. That's just our client body, carnal person that is in us. Lord, help me submit ourselves one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. To be able to come and say that. Brother Bram said in letting out the pressure, take the prescription. James 5, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. Amen. Brother Jesse, would you come and close in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just so appreciate this word tonight, Lord. I think we need it. We need these reminders. And I think just even as Brother Stephen said, Lord, search us. Search me, Lord, each one of us. Expose these things, Father, if there be anything in us. Even as David cried out, cleanse me from secret faults. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are mindful of us, that you do lead us through these things, Lord. You expose that enemy, and we are grateful for it, Lord. Just keep our eyes fixed on you. Keep us in love with you. We pray. We give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. God bless you, saints.